There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 812, December 16th. 2019, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. Racing regards and happy holiday regards to everybody. And moi is very excited. Back to you, sir.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, Formula One 2019 season review, part one is tonight. Ferrari goes for complete engine redesign. Tamara Eccleston, jewelry stolen. What a heist. And 2020 could be very different after all. And I'd like to remind our people that your contributions keep this program on the air. Just click the Support F1 Weekly tab on the front page. You know you want to. Anyone who donates $100 or more will receive a coffee cup and F1 Weekly sticker. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm doing very good, sir. I am really, really looking forward to 2020. We are starting the season with Daytona 24 Hours, and I will be there, so I'm very excited. And then we have in March, Sebring, not too far from here, we have the WEC race plus the American sports car racing scene. So these are very, very happy times. And, of course, March, we have their first race of the season in Land Down Under.
Very exciting, Nas. Everybody's happy. Ferrari is redesigning their engine. And I also want to throw out my condolences to Mr. Simpson, also known as Mr. Safety, passed away at the age of 79. Keep up the good work, Nas. What's up?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned Bill Simpson. He played a major part in the safety of motorsports. And we don't have the time to get into details, but I think he got a very raw deal from the tragedy that took the life of Dale Earnhardt. But, you know, this is all part and parcel of motorsports politics and all that. But Bill Simpson did play a great part. And then after he left Simpson company, he started a new company called Motorsport Safety Related, company, Impact, which is also very well known in the industry. So we do want to extend our condolences to his family and his friends. And thank you for bringing that up, sir.
That's what we do here, Nasser. Nothing but tender feelings for wonderful people.
Absolutely, especially those who love motorsports.
Exactly. So there you go, Nas. It's the end of the season. It's December. You're out shopping for gifts of the host, and the host is waiting to receive said gifts. But in the meantime, we have a season that we must review.
Yeah, but before we do the season review, part one of two, you mentioned Ferrari is redesigning the engine. Well, according to the rumor mill, that's getting hotter and hotter. And now EJ, meaning Eddie Jordan, has thrown his mantra that not only Lewis, but Toto Wolff is leaving Mercedes, and both our compadres are going to Ferrari. What say you?
Yes. Well, first they have to get their passports in order, and they have to prove that they are capable of cooking their own marinara sauce. Once you pass the marinara test, then Maranello's gates are wide open.
Well, this is a very interesting story, and I have a feeling that, I don't know if Lewis will go there or not, anything can happen, but I think Sebastian Vettel is out of that seat after 2020.
There's no doubt. I mean, you have to Maranello just wants one thing, another championship. It's been 12 years. It'll be 13 years. And, you know, when you win a championship with Kimi Raikkonen, not much is said about it. But on the other hand, really, Fernando should have won that championship. But we had a Russian, what we call collusion involvement. So, the rumor mill is running along, and I love it.
Yes, sir. Okay, sir, as far as the review is concerned, we'll just review race by race some information and would like to, of course, get your feedback. Obviously, round one. Question for you, sir. Do you remember some years ago, I think it was the Olympics or some sporting event going on in Australia? So Bahrain was the season opener. And for many years, when I started following Formula One, it used to start in Argentina. You like where the season starts?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a number of years that it starts in Melbourne. It works for me. I like Albert Park. And hey, if the Penguins like it, I like it.
Yeah, it's a very popular venue, city. Everybody likes it. And the interesting thing is it's right in the what Chase Carey would like to call destination city. So you don't have to drive many hours to get to a track. But anyway, the pre-race talk and expectations were all about the pace of Prancing Horse in testing, and post-race talk was all about Bottas 2.0. Lewis started from pole. This was his 8th pole in Albert Park, but as soon as the 5 red lights went out, he was shot down by his own wingman, Senior Valtteri Bottas. The quiet man from Nestola in Finlandia totally dominated the race, setting the fastest lap for one extra point and winning the race by over 20 seconds, which was very, very impressive from number 2 in the race for once, Lewis Carl Hamilton. Ferraris were 4th and 5th with team leader Seb ahead of new man in town, or should I say, new headache in town, Charles Leclerc, as he would become. Local fans got a raw deal as Ricciardo was squeezed on the grass at the start and lost his front wing. Now, question for you, Mr. Rogers. Did you seriously buy into that Bottas 2.0 hype that was really, really all over the interweb?
Not even a little bit. That would be like me betting on Rubinho in the 5th race at the Belmont Stakes.
Okay, for me, nothing against Bottas, but to beat Lewis over the course of the championship, I think will take, for drivers on the current grid, except for 2, the Rosberg luck. So I also did not hit the subscribe button on the Bottas 2.0 hype. He is a very nice kid and he's a very good driver, but so is Rubens Barrichello and Eddie Irvine, and you put them against the very best, then it becomes, you know, choke time. And Bottas did make an interesting comment on the team radio after winning the race, to whom it may concern, and the rest we all know better. And this was widely seen as a sling and arrow to his ex-sponsor, Mr. Vihuri, who runs a company of the same name. And he was not too thrilled with Bottas's performance in 2018. Anything you want to add on that race, sir, from that weekend?
Absolutely. One thing for sure is Bottas, at the beginning of 2019, was, at least we speculate, happily married. Now, not so much.
You're right, and we report just the facts here on F1 Weekly. Now, pilots on the podium were Bottas, Hamilton, and Max, which was definitely a great start for Red Bull and Honda partnership. Now, I have to ask you this, sir. At this stage, after just one race, obviously Honda and Red Bull being on the podium, it was like flash in the pan. Did you really think they would win a race this year?
I did not. Being a Fernandoista, as you call them, I did not think that. I thought they would flounder and fall off slowly till the end. But very surprising, you know, Honda really, I think that's probably the biggest story of 2019 is Honda's success with Red Bull, where they couldn't make it happen with McLaren, but obviously, once again, a loveless marriage where now they're loved and hugged by Christian Horner, And that makes the big difference.
Yes, and we'll come back to that as the program progresses. Shall we go to round two, sir?
My favorite round.
Well, I do like this race in the nighttime. Well, what do you think?
I think it's great. You know, it's a little dusty. A little rain would be nice, but it's a nighttime race, and everybody loves a nighttime race.
There you go. Rain from Spain's pre-season testing fell on Bahrain Grand Prix as red cars grabbed the front row. Charles Leclerc became the second youngest driver to start an F1 race from pole. The youngest was sharing the front row with him, his teammate, the immensely successful four-time world champion Sebastian Vettel. Lewis and Bottas were relegated to the second row, and how many times do we see that during the season? What could have been red skies at night and maiden win for Charles Leclerc turned out to be another 1-2 for the Silver Arrows. This time, Bottas 2.0 was in that position while his teammate took his third win in Bahrain. The race and win really belonged to Leclerc. His Ferrari developed some Guido gremlins on lap 46 of 57, and within two laps, Lewis was in the lead. All Charles could do was coast to third step of the podium. Vettel was the early race leader, had a tremendous dive with Lewis on lap 37, but on the next lap he spun while in a battle for second with Hamilton. We have seen this movie before, and sequel was to come again later in the season. I don't know what the deal with Sebastian is. I think he's just feeling a lot of heat from Lewis and the new kid in town. After two races, Bottas still led the championship, courtesy of his 1 point from the fastest lap in Land Down Under. Leclerc had the fastest lap in Bahrain. Interestingly, two rookies scored their first championship points in this race. Lando Norris was 6th for McLaren and Alexander Albon 9th for Toro Rosso. Now this next item brought back memories from the 1980s. With three laps to go, the Renaults of Hülkenberg and Ricciardo did what the Renaults of Arnoux and Prost used to do in the 80s, retire on the same lap, which was pretty sad. Now, just as a historical point, the inaugural Bahrain Grand Prix took place in 2004 and was won by Michael Schumacher in a Ferrari. It was the first Formula One race in the Arab world since the 1958 Moroccan Grand Prix in Casablanca. Your thoughts on round two in Bahrain, senor?
Very exciting. I was so happy for Ferrari. I was happy for Bottas, too. You know, I thought maybe there's a chance I was wrong about him being Rubinho. But in the end, you could see the season beginning to take shape just by the second race.
Yes, and also the performance of Charles Leclerc leading the race with authority and starting from pole, that to me was the first sign of, trouble for Sebastian Vettel in his comfort zone of Maranello.
Absolutely, and that's my point. That was the barometer that really set the stage for the 2019 season. Leclerc making history, rattling cages. I mean, that was the great backstory, really.
And we all know how much we love cage rattling at F1 Weekly.
Bravo, prego.
Yes, sir. Okay, now round three in the Chinese Grand Prix. This was a major, major milestone for Formula One, what I call a thousand happiness for mankind. This was the 1,000 Formula One championship race. The top five rows were a team affair. Front row was Mercedes, Bottas on pole, red cars were on row two, Red Bull occupied row three, Renault took four, and Haas F1 took row five. Lewis took the lead from Bottas at the start. On the opening lap, Lando Norris was victim of relaunch of the torpedo. It was here in 2016 when Seb called Kvyat torpedo. Round three saw third successive 1-2 for Mercedes, and Seb made his first podium appearance of the season in Shanghai. Pierre Gasly was sixth and got the extra point for fastest lap. And what was really nice, since it was the 1,000 race, Alain Prost waved the checkered flag, which was a nice touch to celebrate the 1,000 race with one of the greats of the sport. And I would much rather see Alain Prost or Nelson Piquet do something like this on a historical event than somebody from Hollywood or Bollywood. What say you?
Absolutely. Alan deserved it. He's the El Machismo in my eyes. And yes, much better than seeing the Beeb.
And talking of Alain Prost, you know, I met him again in Abu Dhabi, and the idea was to, you know, per his request, do an interview there. And he talked to me nicely, and he says, you know, the problem is we have to go through the team and this and that. Then he made a good suggestion. He says, why don't you write to the team PR person and tell them that I requested to set up a meeting with you. And he said, if you come to Paris in March, he said, I go there quite a bit so I can meet you in Paris. So we're going to try again to meet Le Professeur in Paris and see how it works out.
Well, that's good.
But one thing is, you know, you cannot bug people at this level. I cannot ask him every time I see him, hey, can we do an interview, you know, because then they may just put me on the Renault catering team milk carton persona non grata.
Yeah, you don't want to be on that milk carton.
No, absolutely not. So, but, you know, I'm planning a trip to Europe in March, and this will be hopefully a mega interview fest, and we'll see what we can do. And if I can get and sit down with him, that'll be great. If not, we'll find somebody else. Okay, sir. Shall we now go to Baku for round 4, the Azerbaijan Grand Prix?
Vamonos.
Okay, Bottas was the win man in Baku. Now, this guy was really making a good case for himself to become world champion and taking pole and beating his teammate to second for yet another 1-2 for Mercedes. This was the first race in 2019 won from pole position. Lewis threw everything at Bottas on the opening lap, which was very, very impressive, but Bottas did not budge and kept the lead. Sebastian was again the third man on podium and must have been wondering, where is my beautiful pace from pre-season testing? But he had bigger problems waiting for him on the other side of the garage. His teammate Leclerc was fifth and set the fastest lap of the race. Lap 32, Danny Ric and Daniel Kvyat took the escape road, which led to a very clumsy reverse job by Ricciardo, hitting Kvyat's Toro Rosso. Basically, Torpedo got torpedoed. Like the law of the jungle, you know, hunter becomes the hunted. It was here in Baku last year that Ricciardo and Max collected each other, and now Danny Boy has gone on record saying this was the moment he decided to sing, "Hello Renault, goodbye Marco." And actually, if you listen to his interview on another podcast, he used some choice words about the team when this incident happened. But, you know, these things happen. Emotions can run very high and hot in motor racing. The Azerbaijan Grand Prix is sponsored by SOCAR, the national oil company of Azerbaijan. And if I'm not an oil head, but I read somewhere many years ago that the first ever oil well was dug or drilled in Azerbaijan by Shell Oil. Any kingdom with oil is a destination city for Formula One. If Oklahoma was a separate country, we would all be enjoying the very thrilling Grand Prix de Ponca City. Your thoughts on Baku, senor?
Baku, I like Baku. It's great, it's beautiful, it's interesting, and I'm glad that Bottas came back after that 2018 ugliness to get the win. Very exciting.
Yeah, you know, Azerbaijan is called the land of fire, and that long straight, man, that is very, very impressive.
Yeah, I think it's a nice race. We'll see how long it lasts. No, I think it's a good addition. Let's hope that Hanoi does as well.
Yeah, and the historical, you know, those buildings that the cars go through, that's very impressive. I think this race will last for a while because this country has a lot of oil. But Vietnam, I think, is going to go down the same path as the Indian Grand Prix and the Kimchi Grand Prix. I hope I'm wrong, but, you know, sooner or later somebody's going to ask, hey, why are we paying $45 million when look around town and the scenery is, you know, not what you would call destination city. But anyway. Okay, sir, now we go to your favorite race, round 5, Grand Prix de España, Spanish Grand Prix in Barcelona. This was the shampoo show, rinse and repeat. Rinse the competition and repeat the performance. Bottas on pole with teammate sharing the front row. Third pole in a row for Bottas. I mean, this kind of performance, you would really think this guy is on his way to world championship. At the start, Lewis, Bottas and Seb. And I've watched some of these highlights again. And I got to tell you, man, this start with Lewis, Bottas and Seb diving into turn one side by side. Very, very machismo, as you would say. LCH came out in the lead, followed by Bottas. Max put Seb into fourth before lap one was over. In the closing stages, Romain Grosjean was quite aggressive and going outside the lines. First with teammate K-Mag and then with Carlos Sainz Jr. It was all worth it as he picked up a point by finishing 10th. Lewis on top with fastest lap and Bottas second. Max Verstappen was third for Red Bull with Vettel fourth. It is sad to see, talking about destination cities, it is sad to see Barcelona's future not very clear in the world of Formula 1. It was here M. Schumacher scored his first win in the red car in heavy rain in 1996. And a Dutch teenager became the youngest Grand Prix winner in 2016. And from 1991, we have that famous video of Mansell and Senna going wheel to wheel on the front straight, which is shown again and again everywhere. Would Mr. Rogers miss Circuit de Catalunya from the calendar if it disappears?
Of course I would, but they always test there. And now we're going to Zandvoort in Holland, or the Netherlands, as some people call it. So when we gain one, we often have to lose one.
Yes. And Spain may have produced only one world champion. I don't remember his name right now. But the country has a very rich motorsports history, going back to places like Pedralbes, Sitges, and San Sebastian. And my favorite, the Montjuïc circuit in Barcelona, the street circuit. Fantastical. And having been to the Spanish Grand Prix a few times, I like the circuit. I like the city. I like the circuit. It's pretty convenient to get to. I get good vibes from going to Barcelona. Okay, sir, now we come to round 6, Monaco Grand Prix. The so-called crown jewel of Formula 1 is a bore fest 101 racing-wise, just like the knight in shining armor of Singapore. Just personal opinion. But this year was not the norm. Lewis got his kicks for 66 laps on same set of tires. Very impressive. With 2 laps to go, he and Max did make contact. Max was earlier given a 5-second penalty for unsafe release when he almost collected, I believe it was Bottas in the pit lane, and Max went on to finish 4th. After 1 hour and 43 minutes of royal possession, Her Majesty's subject and now local resident Lewis Hamilton was the winner. He called his victory one of the toughest. He did a lot of complaining on the team radio, but after 78 laps, he did get in there, his third win in Monte Carlo. And we had the first non-Mercedes 1-2 as Sebastian was second ahead of Bottas. The second Ferrari driven by local boy Charles Leclerc was DNF. Once again, surprisingly, Pierre Gasly set the fastest lap in a Red Bull powered by a GP2 engine, which beckons the question, where have you gone, Joe DiMaggio and Fernando Alonso? The answer is simple. One is out of the ballpark. The other talked himself out of Albert Park. And that would be the only sling and arrow on the machismo on this podcast. Your thoughts on Grand Prix of Spain, Senor?
The Grand Prix of Spain was fine. So was Monaco.
Yes, you're right. Do you enjoy the Monaco Grand Prix seriously?
Sure, I always enjoy Monaco. Even when Fernando is not there and never will be there again.
Do you remember the 2000 race which he won and Lewis was all over him? That was another great racing performance by Mr. Alonso.
I do indeed remember it.
But the race I will remember, you know, him taking that lead on the first corner or the second corner of the Malaysian Grand Prix, which was his second race with McLaren, that gives me goosebumps as we speak.
I believe you, man.
Okay, sir. So from Goosebumps, we go to Maple Leaf Bumps, round 7, Canadian Grand Prix. Oh, Canada and oh, that penalty. Sebastian started from pole and was in total control till lap 48. Whether Sebastian cracked under pressure from Lewis or blocked him on purpose, only he knows the answer. One thing is for sure, the 5-second penalty he got pissed off a lot of people around the world, and he showed his frustration by moving the number one post from Lewis's car to his car in Parc Fermé. And I was very surprised that they did not give him additional penalty or fine for that. Maybe I'm not aware of it. So the silver streak continued to 7 wins from 7 starts. Lewis winning where he scored his first ever win way back in 2007. Leclerc was 3rd behind his teammate. Bottas was 4th and set the fastest lap, but was still about a minute behind his race-winning teammate. So the season was getting like hot and cold for Bottas. Local lad Lance Stroll was 9th. Oh, by the way, talking of Lance Stroll, there is an article written by some guy on one of the websites which is now being, you know, sort of linked to other websites. Very, very negative on Lance Stroll. But, you know, everybody has an opinion. Montreal has been the home of the Canadian Grand Prix since 1978, when the race was won by another local hero, Gilles Villeneuve, in the very beautiful Ferrari 312 T3. And I was really disappointed that Jacques Villeneuve, even though when he was in the all-conquering Williams, with which he won the championship, did not win on his papa's circuit, which would have been a very nice thing for the local fans in Montreal. Sir, your thoughts on the penalty and its after effects?
Well, my thoughts on the penalty were pretty brutal. I mean, it was ridiculous. We no longer have racing incidents now. It's who gets penalized, who doesn't get penalized. But I'm done ranting about my ranting. That's a different show for another time. No, the whole world spoke about it. They didn't like it. And it is what it is. And a win sometimes is not a win.
Very true, very true. And I always believe races should be won on racetracks, not in stewards' room and courtrooms. But, you know, when the stakes are high. But it did have a very nice effect on it. I think they are now letting racing drivers race, unless you do a really stupid thing. So I think they have, if I can use the phrase, clean up their act. But we definitely do not want these penalties, man, all the time. It's ridiculous. Okay, sir, now we go to your Shangri-La, Round 8, French Grand Prix at Paul Ricard. The track in Le Castellet was built by a man who made millions from selling pastis, Paul Ricard. The track is famous for its location in the mile-long Mistral Strait. Good to have Grand Prix racing back in France, but the 2019 event became the poster child of non-exciting Formula One. Lewis and Mercedes winning from pole did not help Le cause. Win number 6 from last 7 races. His luck is getting better race by race. Bottas was 2nd, 18 seconds behind. Leclerc was 3rd. Max was 4th. Leclerc's teammate Seb was 5th and set the fastest lap. The first ever Formula One race, if I recall correctly, was in 1971 and was won by Jackie Stewart for Ken Tyrrell's team. And Ronnie Peterson scored his first ever win here at Paul Ricard with Lotus in 1973. And on a sad note, popular Italian driver Elio De Angelis was killed here in a 1986 testing crash in his Brabham. Mr. Rogers, this is your spiritual home race. Are you happy with the location, or would you prefer the French Grand Prix at some arrondissement around Paris?
Well, to be honest with you, the location is great, but I'm not a big fan of the Paul Ricard circuit. There's just too much color on the edges. I say get rid of some of that color, throw some gravel in there, and I don't know. I think they're going to revamp it with an additional chicane, but I'm not sure. I know they're doing something. Even though it's France and a beautiful part of France, everything is beautiful in southern France. Women, wine, and the beaches, but we need to clean this up a little bit.
You know, funny you say that about the colors. I was talking to a French journalist at the Abu Dhabi Grand Prix, and I asked him, are you happy if French Grand Prix is back at Paul Ricoeur? And he says, no, there are too many blue lines. You can't see the car.
Yeah, I don't like all the blue. I don't even like it at Dakota. It's just too distracted to the eye. I prefer a nice simplistic track where I see tarmac and I see runoff without going into some weird art or graphics destination. It's just wrong.
Okay, sir. I'll let Chase Carey know. Okay, now we come to round 9, and I'll tell you what the Autosport podcast said about this. The Austrian Grand Prix was, of course, at Red Bull Ring. Back in the days, was known as Österreichring. It was one of the greatest tracks on, and it was, I think, that track in its original form was one of the fastest tracks in Grand Prix racing, along with Monza and Silverstone. After the Bahrain letdown, Charles Leclerc was again on his way to his maiden win from pole position. Max started on the front row and at one stage of the opening lap was 8th. Mad Max fought back to second place and on lap 68 of 71 went side by side with Leclerc, but the Ferrari driver kept the lead, which is very, very impressive to watch again. Then on lap 69 came the Jimi Hendrix experience from Max. Excuse me while I kiss the sky. From the F1's new Voodoo Child. Max also set the fastest lap. This was win number 6 in the young life and very fast times of Mr. Max Verstappen. Very impressive win on Red Bull's own turf, and they were joined on the podium by Bottas. And Autosport, which is, you know, very, very famous magazine, something I've been reading since the early 70s, they also have a podcast or a video cast, and they started their coverage of this race by saying, a GP2 engine has finally won a Formula One race. What say you?
It was a GP2 engine at Suzuka, and they made some repairs, and now it's a Formula One engine. These things happen. We all make mistakes, and we repair and fix things. I was happy. That was a great race.
That was a great race, and it's good to see other teams winning, also other manufacturers, so we have more and more international exposure and interest in motor racing. LCH was 5th in his first non-podium finish at this stage of the season. Sebastian passed him for 4th with less than 2 laps to go. Seb did experience some spaghetti culture when the team was not ready with tires when he came in. And this was the first race of the season not won by a silver car, and it was quite a doozy. Did you think they were going to win more races, or was this sort of a one-hit wonder for 2019 for Max?
Oh, I thought it was a one-hit wonder. I accept reality. I know what's going on. But it was pretty delightful.
Yeah, it was very good. And it's always good to see young people win, have success in Formula One. I cannot wait to see Alexander Albon get his first win. And it can happen, you know. It might take a little bit lucky win. But, you know, you take them as they come. Do you think Alexander Albon will win a race next year?
No.
I think he will. He's not going to beat Max Verstappen and win, but I think he'll find a way to win, and I wish him well. Okay, sir, now we come to round 10, British Grand Prix at the birthplace of Formula One, Silverstone. This was very impressive. Bottas on pole at Hamilton's backyard, just like Heikki Kovalainen many years ago. Very impressive by the Finnish driver, and a very spirited start by him. Lewis was all over him and even took the lead on lap 4, but Bottas retook the lead right back. There was also a very good dice between Leclerc and Max for third in the early stages of the race. Bottas remained in the lead till lap 17 of 52 when he came in for tire change. LCH was now leading his home Grand Prix. Your favorite, Lady Luck, smiled on LCH on lap 20 when Antonio Giovinazzi spun a Sauber Alfa Romeo and brought out the safety car. And that was all Lewis needed to pit and come out in the lead. Bottas had the pace to win, but instead of victory, he got the Isaac Hayes CD. And I'm talking about shaft. So it was home sweet home for Lewis, setting the fastest lap and beating poleman Bottas into second place. Sixth win on home soil for Lewis Hamilton, matching Alain Prost in winning home Grand Prix races. Now, I have to say, easy to say this after the fact, but the pace Bottas was showing, had it been a normal pit stop for Lewis without any, you know, safety car or caution, I think Bottas would have won this race, and this would have been a great win, beating Lewis Hamilton on home ground. But it was not to be. Finishing third and about 55 seconds behind race winner, and this is where you wonder where the pace went for Ferrari. So Charles Leclerc was 55 seconds behind race winner in third place. He learned his lesson well from the Austrian Grand Prix in his fight with Max, who finished fifth behind his teammate Pierre Gasly. Interesting radio message from Max when he complained Leclerc was moving late. Some of us had to think about Kimi saying the same thing at Spa a few years ago, and I'm sure you remember that.
Yep.
Vettel was a lap down in 16th, courtesy of a 10-second penalty. You know, what a shame it is that even the future of British Grand Prix is brought into doubt every now and then. And you know what was really, really low class by Bernie and his people? Do you remember some years ago where on the morning of the race at Silverstone, they announced the British Grand Prix will be moving to Donington?
Yeah.
That was absolutely third class, man.
That's the Eccleston way.
So any thought on the British Grand Prix?
Oh, once again, LCH, you know, pleases his fans at home. And you can never beat that.
Yeah, you know, I'll tell you about home fans. Long time ago, when Mansell was with Williams, I'm watching this race with my friend, 5:30 in the morning, when he won the British Grand Prix. And, you know, he was more surrounded by the crowd and all that kind of stuff. Everybody got excited. They got on the track, like the Tifosis at Monza. And they were showing a very close-up view of the car and the whole scene there, and then some guy pointed to some guy who had a Union Jack in his hand, very excited. Some guy pointed out to him that he was on, you know, camera. It was on TV. So the guy turned around, saw that he was, you know, in focus. He drops his Union Jack and moons the entire global Formula One audience. And I thought that was very cheeky. No pun intended, of course. Do you remember that race, sir, where Mansell won at Silverstone?
Absolutely, dude. I remember the mooning and the lunacy afterwards.
Oh, yes. Yeah, that was beautiful. Okay, sir, so that's the way it goes. And now we come to the final race in part one of the review of the 2019 season, which has been now called one of the great races in the last 10, 15 years. And it was very, very exciting. The German Grand Prix at Hockenheim Ring. And how pathetic. We have such a great race. And next year there will be no Formula One race in the land of Michael Schumacher and Mercedes and Auto Union and Bernd Rosemeyer. But money talks. Maybe they need to find a lot of oil in Frankfurt or Peenemünde, so they can pay for these Grand Prix. Okay, home race for the dominant team of the hybrid era, but no Mercedes driver in the top 8, which is hard to believe, let alone podium. Charles Leclerc crashed out, so did Hülkenberg, who was looking good for his long, long-awaited first podium in Formula 1. The race was so bizarre that even Lance Stroll was among the race leaders, and Torpedo struck the podium celebration. This was the wild one. Lewis was on pole and the race started behind the safety car due to rainy day in Germany. The safety car came in and we had a standing start, which I like very much. At the end of the opening lap, order was Lewis, Bottas and Raikkonen in the Sauber Alfa Romeo. How crazy can a race get? Then Sergio Perez crashed out on lap 3. Race leader was called in for intermediate tires. K-Mag did not stop and jumped to second. So this was like a really strange, strange race from the beginning. Lap 28, Lewis comes in for slicks while on same tires. Leclerc goes into the barriers. Then Lewis goes off and has to come back into the pits for a full spaghetti culture experience. Team totally not expecting him for a new front wing. And he goes out again, this time on intermediate tires. This put Max in the lead, lap 41, Nico Hülkenberg in the barriers while running fourth. By this time, Max had already made four pit stops. Lap 43, Lewis had another off but was lucky not to hit anything and was able to keep calm and carry on. Four laps later, a fist banging from Toto Wolff signaled that Bottas has gone into the barriers. Two laps from the end, this was interesting. Gasly, I was thinking of Dr. Marco when I saw this replay. Two laps from the end, Gasly lost his front wing when Albon moved to the right to defend his position. And as David Croft said on the Sky broadcast, that caps a pretty miserable afternoon for Gasly. And I have no doubt in that Gasly just was trying very hard to get closer to Max and, you know, as the season was progressing and that pressure got to him. So it was Max winning the race for Red Bull Honda with the fastest lap. Christian Horner called it a masterclass performance, and one has to agree with him. And the engine supplier, this was my favorite part from the German Grand Prix, the engine supplier celebrated by posting on the Instagram that's GP2 wins. Ironic how slings and arrows can have a boomerang effect. And that's the way it goes sometimes. Okay, the natives were happy as their wunderkind started 20th and finished 2nd. Very good drive by Sebastian after crashing from the lead here last year. The Torpedo appeared on the podium. Kvyat was a happy comrade and so was the Toro Rosso team. Lance Stroll was 4th for Team Pepito. Carlos Sainz Jr. completed the top 5. LCH was classified 9th, so which helped him score a point in each and every race of the season so far. Your kind thoughts on the German Grand Prix, sir?
It was the best Grand Prix of the season for me, and I loved the chaos. It was fun. It was mixed up, and you did not get a predictable race, which is what I adore. It was wonderful, 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 except for Honda going after world champions in a negative way. But besides that, you know, hey, we can all take a joke.
Yes, and you know, it will take a few of these races next season where Albon or somebody else can be a surprise first-time winner, and I hope it happens.
Absolutely.
So what else is going on in the world of motorsports for Mr. Rogers?
I don't know. Did you get a chance to read the article I sent you about Laguna Seca?
Yes, I did, and I've been reading some other stuff also about it, and it's beyond pathetic, to be honest with you.
It is hard to believe that, but the biggest problem with Laguna Seca, it's not privately owned, and that's the crux of the situation. And after so many years and so much great history, this could possibly happen is somewhat bizarre.
Yes, you know, like once a long time ago, a stand-up comic talking about people who complain about airport noise and all that, and his response was, he said, "Did you not see the airport when you moved here, bastard?" And it's my, I have the same thing, you know. Why would you build a house next to a grand racing track and then complain about it? Everybody should have what they want, you know. If people want to enjoy bike trail, they should have some bike trail. And people want to enjoy, you know, dirt racing, they should have that. And we have, this is a world-class facility. Just that Corkscrew is famous all over the world, like Eau Rouge and like Parabolica. I mean, how pathetic would we if we lose this fantastic venue?
It would be pretty sad, but We'll follow the situation. I'm going to stay on top of it. I mean, it affects so many people. The biggest problem is and I'm sure a lot of our listeners have vacationed in Northern California. And of course, Laguna Seca is in Monterey, Carmel, Big Sur. It's a tourist destination. It's the rich and wealthy destination. And it's an odd place for a racetrack as property values go sky high. And I would have to admit that many, many people that attend Pebble Beach or the Quail never go to Laguna Seca. There are somewhat, but it's obvious, there are two separate classes on race weekend in August in Monterey, and I think that's a problem as well. The only person that I see at everything is our friend Jay Leno.
Yes. Yeah, it's, we'll see how it works out. But, you know, the track has been there since the late 50s. And, I mean, it's not like Spa or Le Mans that is taking 8-9 miles. So, I mean, it's just in a fish kind of a between two hills, you know, and such a fantastic track. You know, some years ago, they were planning to demolish the Monza banking. And there was a big hue and cry about this whole situation, and then funds were raised, and then they kept it. And I'm sure you remember they were going to tear down the pit building and the grandstand at Reims also, which would have been complete disaster if they had done that.
Absolutely. That would have been a complete disaster. I mean, the pits and the stands at Reims, or the little town of Gueux in northern France in Champagne country, is so heralded by everyone that even people that have bad habits would never put graffiti on any of these buildings because they knew the importance of the vintages.
Yeah, you know, I was there some years ago, and just it's incredible to see that there was a Formula One race going by, and now there's a highway, and it looks very, very serene, you know, that you've got the busy modern highway going, and there is a remnant from the 19, you know, I don't know when the first Reims Grand Prix took place, but this is something that should be preserved. Just like Montlhéry, you know, it's fantastic to go and see the banking there, and Brooklands also. Can you imagine this would be like somebody saying, oh, we're going to build a big building at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, tear down the track. Oh, hello.
No, it is ridiculous. And of course, you know, tracks like Spa, Montlhéry, Monza, of course, go further back in time to the 20s. But certainly for us boys and gals in Northern California, Laguna Seca is so historical that we're going to do everything we can to keep this track going. Now, of course, the person that is now in charge of running it has never ran a racetrack. It's like putting a non-pilot in charge of an aircraft, but we'll see what happens. Hopefully they don't crash and burn, but we're going to stay on top of this. It's an interesting story, and we'll see what happens.
I think the racing fans need to hijack this pilot.
And we did not say hijack.
Okay, we said something else.
Exactly. So, yes, very bizarre, but yeah, there's some great, Racer Magazine has a reporter on the scene, and it's just a great article. If anybody is interested, just email me, clark@f1weekly.com, and I'll send you the link to the Racer Magazine article. I also have a link on the F1 Weekly front page. And that's it, Nas. Well, part two next week.
Yes, sir. Part two next week. And then I am really, really looking forward to 2020, the Barbara Walters special.
Yes, looking forward to that. Hopefully something exciting will happen. Whatever will happen will be exciting. We all know that.
Yes. And let's see, you know, if a Grand Prix comes to Miami or Las Vegas, I would love to see a Grand Prix in Miami or somewhere in Florida or California. But I'm not so sure about a Grand Prix in Vegas. You know, they've tried this trick once before.
Well, I think the MGM Grand is ready.
Okay, great.
Exactly. So anyway, Nas, keep up the good work. Obviously, I have work to do. I have to call the folks over at the Daytona Speedway.
Yes, sir. Please do so.
I will. I will make a call first thing in the morning, Nas.
Thank you, sir, and you have a pleasant evening.
Thank you. I want to thank everybody who listens to the program. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.